Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Thus says the word of the Lord. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Let the whole church say amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your light and what it means to be in your presence. Father, we want to live in your light, and we want to be a reflection of that light to Christ, of Christ to others. Jesus came to be a light to all of us, not just a certain people, but to all of us. He came to brighten up all of our days. Help us to discover this light in us and shine brightly for your kingdom. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many of us were blessed. We've been making allusions to it since we started service. Many of us were blessed to spend the past few days in joyful reflection of everything that God has blessed us with. You know, my wife and I, we just returned late last night from Flint, Michigan to spend time with Christy's family. It's the first time in many, many years that my mother-in-law got to see every one of her grandchildren together. Just didn't get that opportunity. She's got a grandchild that lives in Boston, and one was in California, and then you got us in Ohio. So it was a wonderful sight to see us all together. And we all just spent time just reflecting on the beauty of family. I remember my mother-in-law even saying once, we were in the kitchen, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, he roots for the Detroit Lions, and my sister-in-law, his wife, roots for the Chicago Bears, and they were in there watching a football game, going back and forth at each other, but it was all in fun. And I remember my mother-in-law remarking, she's like, "You know, man, we're so blessed. There are so many families right now, and it's probably split apart and fighting with each other, but here we are in here having some fun together, and there's some peace in the house." And I know that it's not the narrative for every family, but it's certainly something that I'm thankful for. And again, I just pray that you all had an opportunity to spend some time with friends or family and to really reflect on all that God has been doing. For some of us, this past week marks the full transition, right, into the Christmas season. Some of us, maybe starting today, or some of y'all, you know, we're ahead of the schedule, starting to put up Christmas decorations, putting up the Christmas tree or the lights. It's time to tune your radio stations to the all Christmas music station. I think Sunny 95 does all Christmas music, or I know most people don't listen to the radio. It's time to stream all the Christmas music. That's what we do. For me, December, I like to wear a bow tie on Sundays. On Sunday, so you'll see a different bow tie with me. This is like my Christmas tradition. I just started a couple years ago, and the one I'm most looking forward to, Hallmark movies. Can't wait. In the Christian church, today, December 1st, it marks the first day of a season that we call Advent. Advent simply means waiting. It is a season of waiting. The season of Advent is a church season where the church brings attention to the second coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And we bring attention to his second coming by looking at his first coming, sometimes referred to as the incarnation, where God became flesh and walked on this earth. So we look at the second coming or focus on the second coming by looking at the first coming. I find it to be very refreshing and rhythmically appealing to enter a season of waiting. While it is common for us to go into a season of a rush and hurry and excess and greed and consumerism and quite frankly, ungratefulness. What better way to prolong a season of Thanksgiving than to choose to enter a reflective month of waiting and contemplation on the work of Christ that has been done, that is going on right now, and the work that is to come. The season of Advent starts today on the church calendar and runs all the way through the end of November next year. And for me, one of the ways that I've tried to really sort of change my rhythm, this is my new year, so I do a Bible reading plan or rhythm every year, and I always start the first day of Advent. I don't wait till January. I always start, you know, in December. So I begin my reading plan today. I read through the daily lectionary, which has a series of readings all throughout the year. But this is a time that many people call a time of reset. This is a time for us to kind of just flush out I know we're going to come up to the 2020 and have the new year and do that, but I think we ought to get a jump start. And it's a way of saying, I overheard class this morning in talking about God and the Jews or Israelites and Exodus and how he set for them like a new rhythm, a new month, a new season. It started with Passover. And that was a way of God telling his people that you're going to be oriented a different way. You're not going to always be oriented according to the world. And so Advent for me is a way of saying I'm not oriented according to the world's calendar, but to a different calendar. And so I want to invite you all into this season of waiting and expectation and anticipation. Earlier, we sung a song called Joy to the World, and we commonly designate that song as a Christmas song. But actually, Joy to the World is an Advent song that speaks of Christ's return to earth. We believe that Christ, Jesus Christ, lived on this earth and that he died and was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God brought him up as he was ascended into heaven, and he's now on the right hand of God. That's where he is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus Christ also will return to earth one day, on a day that God chooses and only God knows, and he will continue his reign forevermore. Let me remind you of the lyrics of the song we sang, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. The song speaks of the exuberant joy of Christ's return, and it is a call for everyone to prepare for Christ's return. While we wait for this king to come, make preparations, make provisions, do what needs to be done to welcome this king. During this Advent season, that is what we intend to do. We intend to wait for Jesus to come and to ask the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts, for the heart is the best of rooms. For the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, I want us to consider a reading and a prophecy from the same prophet that I just read from earlier. But I want to read another prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. And this reading I'm going to read now is going to serve as the base for the next several sermons in the month of December. Isaiah, if you want to flip over to Isaiah chapter 9. Starting at verse number 2 this time, Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse number two. And the prophet speaks this word of the Lord. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from the time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. There are two passages in the book, the prophecy of Isaiah, that most would argue are the most popular of all the prophecies. One passage is Isaiah 53, a scripture that speaks of the suffering servant who was chosen by God to suffer for the sins and the iniquities of all. The other popular passage is the passage I just read from Isaiah chapter 9. It has become an anthem and a word of promise regarding the entrance into the world of a king, a savior, a rescuer, and a liberator. Zero in on Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, as the prophet declares that there will be a child born, and his name will be, or he shall be called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, I can't speak for everyone in this room. Now, I can't speak for every Christian in this world. So let me speak for myself for just the moment. There is something that washes over me and consumes me when I hear a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. When I think of the issues that I have in my life, I am reminded of my own need for a counselor. And here Isaiah promises a Wonderful Counselor. And with all the gods out here competing for my attention, Isaiah is promoting a God that is a champion because he is a mighty God. And it's December. In 2003, my father passed away in December of 2003. December 14th. And it's December is a time where I begin to think about my father, and I begin to reflect on loss. And quite frankly, I miss my father. And here is Isaiah speaking of a father, but not just any father. As I reflect on my earthly father, he's speaking of a father that is everlasting father. Chaos and confusion are lobbying to be the norm, not the exception. And Isaiah the prophet says, "Don't worry, Dion, for unto us a child is born, and his name will be called Prince of Peace." I can't speak for all of you or any of you or anyone in this world, but when I hear a Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, there was something that washes over me. It makes me feel kind of good. And so I thought it might be appropriate this year to take a look at these names one by one. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Today, let's look at a Wonderful Counselor for just a moment. Church, it's important for us to understand that the prophet Isaiah was preaching to a community of people who were headed for doom. Isaiah preached more than 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. Isaiah was an important prophet who had a powerful message for the people of Judah. He preached out of the capital of Judah, Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, God's people were divided into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom that we refer to as Israel. Their capital was Samaria. The southern kingdom was called Judah. Their capital was Jerusalem. Now, there's a long, complicated history that explains why they were two kingdoms. They were both God's people, but they were essentially two different nations, two different countries. This is bore out by the fact that there are instances, and there's actually allusions to it in one of the kings mentioned in Isaiah, that the two kingdoms, the two nations, actually fought against each other. They actually aligned with other countries and fought with each other, the southern kingdom versus the northern kingdom. In summary, the people of God had a long history of infighting, chaotic narratives, and rebellion against God's way. In time, their rebellion would not be tolerated any longer by God himself. So God sent prophets to proclaim God's message of disapproval and an impending judgment against the people for their rebellion. It could be said that one of the reasons the people of God were so taken away in their own rebellion was that they had terrible leaders. Israel and Judah were led by kings, and many of these kings were wicked. They didn't follow in the ways of God. They followed their own way. They were out for their own purposes. They joined alliances with evil rulers around the world. They treated their people like garbage. They facilitated and fueled a society where it was okay. It was okay to cheat your neighbor, trample on the poor, disregard widows. And many of these evil kings led their people in worshiping other gods. In the first chapter of Isaiah, some of these kings are mentioned. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the southern kingdom." Now take King Ahaz for a second. King Ahaz is written about in 1 Kings chapter 16, 2 Kings chapter 16. And hear what it says about Ahaz. Listen to a little narrative about this king. "In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, King Ahaz, son of Jotham of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his ancestor David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even made his son pass through fire, according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. He sacrificed and made offerings on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree." King Ahaz led Judah in worshiping other gods and led them in some of those practices associated with those other gods. He was so entrenched in the practice that he even sacrificed his own son on an altar of fire. That's what it means to make your son to walk through the fire. Ahaz also, you read further down in that text, he stole treasures from the temple of the Lord and gave it to the enemies of Israel. And at that time, Judah and Israel were engaged in a war. They had kidnapped Ahaz, and while he was in Israel's temple, he stole some of their stuff and gave it to their enemies. That's cold, y'all. Ahaz was bad news. He descended from Israel's greatest king, King David, but he did not lead the people in following the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's leadership like Ahaz that would eventually lead to the people of God finding themselves in bondage and in exile. They would be carried away to live in a land that is not their own. The days of flourishing in life in a land filled with milk and honey would come to a screeching halt. And for the people of God who once lived in the light of clarity, they would now live in gloom and in darkness. They would be overcome with feelings of anxiety and worthlessness. The people would be in a place where they are longing to be rescued. They would be longing for a king and a ruler that would reverse the fortunes, the misfortunes that they were experiencing. They would want a Messiah, and that's what they were longing for, a Messiah, a great king in the mold of their great king, ancestor King David. So Isaiah the prophet says of their condition. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Something is on the horizon, Isaiah says. A king or a ruler is coming. He must be born, though. And his birth will signal new life. It will signal a new way. It will signal a renewed chance at life in the blessing of God. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor. A Wonderful Counselor. As a king, he would be responsible for planning the way of the kingdom. As a counselor, he would possess knowledge and information that would benefit the kingdom and the inhabitants of the kingdom. As a counselor, he would provide guidance for the lost. As a counselor, he would offer correction for the wayward. As a counselor, he would give ear and attention to those who would call on him. Like the psalmist describes, this wonderful counselor would hear and act on behalf of those who call on him. Recall the psalmist in Psalm 28 who writes this wonderful song and said, "To you, O Lord, I call my rock. Do not refuse to hear me, for if you are silent to me, I shall be like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication as I cry to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleadings. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my head trusts, so I am helped, and my heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." That's that wonderful counselor. During this season of Advent, let us prepare room for the wonderful counselor. Invite him into the best of rooms. I submit to you that the best of rooms that we could prepare for this wonderful counselor is our heart. Invite the wonderful counselor into your relationships that are in need of counsel. They're broken. There's some chaos there. There's some conflict there. Invite the wonderful counselor into your relationships. Invite the wonderful counselor into your workplace where you are so stressed out. You're so tired. You're so sick of the bosses doing what they do and coworkers doing what they do. You're so sick of working more hours and getting less pay. Invite the wonderful counselor into your workplace. Invite the wonderful counselor into your schools. Invite the wonderful counselor teachers into your classrooms where you get frustrated when students don't do their work they're supposed to do, and when they talk more than they raise their hands and ask questions, and when they have behavior problems. Invite the wonderful counselor into your classrooms. Invite them into your school, students, where you're trying to fit in and be impactful without losing
losing your identity in Christ. Invite the wonderful counselor to speak fresh truth to you, giving you a better understanding of who you are in his eyes, not your friends or peers' eyes. Invite the wonderful counselor into the dark places where you might be this holiday season. For many of you in this room, this is the first holiday season without your loved one, without your family member, without your spouse, without your sibling, and you are still mourning. Invite the wonderful counselor to grieve with you. And you who are without hope today, invite the wonderful counselor into your heart to sit with you, to speak with you, to comfort you, to overwhelm you with a message of hope. This first Sunday of Advent is the week of hope. It's a week where we are reminded where we should place our hope. We put our hope in the one to come, the promised one who comes from God to bring good news of salvation. We hope in the one who will lead us to walk in the light of the Lord. We hope he will not let us live in dark valleys, but on the high mountains of God. And this morning, I pray that we will hear the voice of the wonderful counselor saying there is much to hope for. Don't lose heart. Hear him say, there is a high mountain where God rests, and hear him say, we are all invited to come near to him so that our hope will be restored. May today be the day where our hearts reset, preparing for a new year of God's bountiful blessings. May we walk with and anticipate Christ's return, believing that it's imminent. And while we wait, may we walk with expectation of a God who is destined to do something special and powerful right before our eyes. I'm looking for big things to take place in the year 2020. I'm looking for big things to happen over the next 4 weeks. So while we wait and expect God to do his thing. And for any in here right now who find themselves in a battle for understanding life, maybe you're in a battle just trying to understand why you're in a situation or something that has you tied up in a chaotic knot. May this be the year that the wonderful counselor gives you his ear and provide for you an ear and a heart to listen. Call on the wonderful counselor right now. May he hear you. May he touch you. And perhaps there is a wound that is yet to be healed. May he heal you through counsel. I need you to be encouraged because hope is here. So it's an awesome harmonization here we have of a wonderful counselor and hope that we have a child that will be born that shall be called not just counselor, but wonderful counselor, to give us the best counsel that we could ever receive. If you've been going to other sources, if you've been going to other people and you've neglected to come to this wonderful counselor, may the first day of Advent, the day of hope, the week of hope, may this be the week that you reconnect, that you connect with this wonderful counselor. Call on him right now. He will hear you and he will meet you where you're at. As we're singing the next song, there's a way that
that we can partner with you through prayer, through conversation, through company during this week, during this season. If you're just hurting, you know, I don't know if y'all heard Terry Glenn, who was a football player, star football player, wide receiver at Ohio State. I remember Terry Glenn. Terry Glenn, a couple years ago, died tragically in a car accident. Just got word this morning that his son, 22-year-old son, passed away from they're saying an accidental overdose here in Columbus. Terry Glenn Jr. But in the story I was reading on November 28th, he posted something on Twitter, just speaking of his agonizing pain of just missing his daddy. Maybe you're there. Maybe right now, man, you missed that one that you lost, and you just want us to love on you and to share with you in this moment. We want to do that for you. This is a season of love and comfort and hope. And as a body of Christ, we would love to just sit with you, even if it's just to sit with you and cry with you or listen to us, you tell us a story about your loved one. We're not the wonderful counselor, but we would love to be representatives of this wonderful counselor and however he might send us to give you hope, to give you care, we want to do that. If today is the day that you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, to say, I want to be in Jesus, you want to be baptized, we'll do that as well. Let's stand, let's sing.